Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. I am excited to continue in our Staying Power series through January. That was the plan, but about halfway through the week this week, I was almost done with the first draft of what would have been today's sermon, and I just felt a leading to spend more time on the sanctity of human life. I was planning on leading some prayer at the end of the service, still plan to do that, but I thought, let's set aside what I had planned for Staying Power one more week. We'll get to that next week, and it's good, so I hope you'll be there. But I wanted to focus on the cause of life. As Megan said in the video, this Wednesday is the 47th anniversary. It'll be January 22nd, the 47th anniversary of that decision by the Supreme Court to legalize abortion in all 50 states. And it was 11 years later, in 1984, that President Reagan, on January 22nd, issued a proclamation marking the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And so decades later, here we are, there's millions of us in thousands of churches across our country that are taking the Sunday prior to that day, and we call it Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We reflect and we pray together for this tremendous cause of life. Today, those of us who are pro-life, we mourn. We mourn the loss of 61.6 million lives taken legally in our country by abortion. And our hearts break for those lives, but also for people suffering from a decision to be partner to or to have an abortion. There's a weight and a guilt that comes with that, and our hearts break for those people. But also our anger burns. It burns against a desensitized culture that not only endorses, but even celebrates the disregarding of our Creator and His gift of life. Now, I was encouraged, Megan shared some of the things there in the video, I was encouraged reading this week that the abortion rate in America continues to drop to record lows, year after year. It reached a record low in 2014 and continues to drop since 1973. And we have, praise God, we have many pro-life leaders in public office, even in the White House. And many pro-life laws have passed, and abortion facilities and state-funded abortions are being lowered and even shut down. And yet, we're divided as a nation on this, hotly divided as a nation. And there's passion on every side of the issue. In a recent Gallup poll that I found here, discovered online, there's 25% of Americans who believe abortion should be legal in all circumstances across the board. But there's 13% that believe abortion should be legal, but only in most circumstances. There's some where they would put a limit. And usually these folks, that 13%, it's late-term abortion. They say, no, okay, we'll pass some, anti-late-term laws. Then there's the biggest group, 39%, of those surveyed said abortion ought to be legal, but only in a select few circumstances. One of the big ones is the life of the mother. These people may still consider themselves pro-life, but they are pro the life of the mother as well, they would say. And so, but there's also in the case of the health of the baby, or in the nightmare case of a woman becoming pregnant because of rape, they would say, yeah, then abortion ought to be legal. But only 21% surveyed believe abortion should be illegal in all cases. And so that's 4% less than those who say it ought to be legal in every case. And so we see this, and it's clear that as uncomfortable as this is to talk about, I don't want to be up here talking about this topic. We need to. We need to keep talking. We need to keep praying fervently about this issue. And big disclaimer, I know that there are many that would say I'm the last person that's allowed to talk about this issue. I know that the folks would say that. I'm Christian, I'm white, I'm upper middle class American, and worst of all, I'm a male. And so, you know, keep your mouth shut, Chris. And we have, you know, that's why strategically, and because we want to not just hear from guys on the topic, we've invited many women to talk about this over the years from Crossroads Care Center and from Compassion Pregnancy Center, and even our own Megan Genosa, who you saw in the video, has been up here to share her powerful story with us. But today, you've got me, all right? And I am a dad. I'm a dad. I've got my own boys who we welcomed, you know, my wife and I into the world. I am the product, you might not know this, of unwed teenagers and was largely raised by my single mom, so I've got that perspective a little bit. And my wife and I have discussed this at length many times, and her opinion I value much more highly than any politician or entertainer or sports hero or something. My wife's opinion is tops as far as the people in my life. But really, truly, beyond all that, now I'm going to disregard my disclaimer and say my opinion doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Chris Bordeaux's opinion on this isn't really that important at all. Our Creator's opinion is the one that matters. What does Scripture teach? What does God teach us about this topic? There's a warning in Proverbs that goes like this. It says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. We can really think, I can, you can, anyone can really think we got something figured out, but Scripture says we could be dead wrong if we don't have our Creator's perspective. And so what we want to do today is dig into the Word, and if you get your outlines out of your program, we're going to look at five biblical reasons to stand for life. And I underlined stand for life because, oh, it'll be up there in a minute. And you see it there on your outline underlined because that's our main idea today. All right, and normally I say, oh, if you're taking notes, and I sure hope you are, you want to write it down, because that Randy always says that, so I feel like we're contractually obligated to say that. And you think, as soon as you're told to do something, you're like, no, because we're rebels. But it's already written down for you, so I tricked you into having the main idea already written down. It is, of course, to stand for life. That's what we teach here at Stony. And so let's look at five reasons to do that. And the first one there on our outline is this. All humans are made in God's image. Every human is made in the image of God. This is one of the very first truths taught in the Bible. They don't eventually get around to it. Right in book one, right in chapter one, after we learn that God is the maker of heaven and earth, what's the very next thing Scripture has to teach us? Well, in Genesis 1:26, it reads, then God said, let us make mankind in our likeness. This is the Trinity talking amongst themselves. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This goes to great lengths to make that point. All people, men and women, all people created in God's image. Says it over and over again, just in these two verses. You're like, is this Dr. Seuss? I mean, it's great literary lengths to emphasize this. We can't support an attack on innocent human life, no matter how young or how old, no matter how healthy or broken, or by color or ethnicity or gender or religion. Pro-lifers are not anti-woman, as some may think. Half of these 61.6 million lives lost were baby girls, who we wanted to be born, to grow into strong women. According to the statistics, 20 million of those aborted were black lives that matter. Talk about Black Lives Matter? Of course, of course. And it starts in the womb. All human life bears the image of our Creator. Each one is important to him. God says this in Genesis 9, I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being, for in the image of God has God created mankind. Now, some would say, you know, maybe more in that 39% category, that abortion is okay in the health of the baby. If the baby is going to die anyhow, you know, probably won't live to be even a couple months old or something like this, or if they're going to live a life with a mental or physical disability. Some might say it's even an act of compassion to spare them from that. But this downplays the gift of life from our Creator. It downplays the gift of life from Him. I did a funeral about a year and a half ago. It was for a little boy who was 12 days old. 12 days old. And he had some digestive problems he was born with. And even though he fought, his parents said he fought so hard, but he lost and he passed away at 12 days old. And I sat down with the parents. The mom used to be in the youth group, one of my former students. We sat down and they told me that every single one of those 12 days for them was an immeasurable gift. An immeasurable gift. As they told me the story, I said, well, what happened? You know, they were kind of sharing their story with me. I saw that every one of those days was a nightmare. Every one of those days was a battle, a heartbreak, as they're watching their little boy struggle to live, undergo surgeries. They had to perform a couple surgeries. And yet, they said he was a fighter. He did everything right. He just didn't make it. And they fought for their son. They loved him. And each long and painful day was a gift. Who here has a friend or a loved one that has a mental or physical disability? Mm-hmm. You have a friend or a loved one? Yeah. A lot of us. And of course, it's hard. Of course, like that's an understatement. To see somebody you care about, and maybe their mind doesn't work the way the rest of our minds work, or they have a physical disability that they're not able to do what most of us are able to do. And even having to help that person that we love can be hard and draining. It drains our emotions and our time and even our resources. But I think every one of us would say that person's a gift in our lives, that person is a gift, that their life really does matter. Being pro-life doesn't just mean being pro-birth. It means being pro-life, that we care for each person. Every human is created in the image of God and has inherent value and dignity. Now, I know some would say, I agree with you so far, Chris, you're tracking with me up until now, but we're talking about an unborn human, an unborn child. And so this is the part of the woman's body is what we're talking about. Well, Scripture has something to say about this too. Number two on our outline is this: an unborn life equals a human life. An unborn life equals a human life. In Exodus 21, it reads, if two men who are fighting, there's a long list of really weird scenarios in Exodus of if this happens, this is the decision. One of them happens to be this. If two men are fighting and hit a pregnant woman, she gives birth prematurely. If there is serious injury, you are to take a life for a life. The punishment for killing a pregnant woman's baby in the Bible was death. Why? Because the pregnant woman's baby is a distinct human life. Now, the Bible teaches us this, and I'm talking about five biblical reasons. I promise to mostly stay on what the Bible says. But in this issue, guys, we don't need the Bible to teach us this. We don't need the Bible to teach us that at the moment of conception, we're talking about a new human being. I found this video a few years back. We showed it. I'd like to show it again, that just highlights just how distinct this life is growing in his or her mom's womb. Let's take a look at the video together. said that the baby is born in 38 to 42 weeks, and for my poor mom, it was the 43rd week. So when she, you see her, she visits from time to time, just shake her hand and thank her for me. When Leah was pregnant with our first baby, with Xander, our oldest, we found out that he was a boy. And we did it in the usual way. The OB and the ultrasound could see that our little baby had a penis. And I chuckled a little at that just because guys laugh at that kind of thing, no matter how old we are. But also, it was just a good, just a funny and happy reminder, this is not Leah's body. This is a tenant. You know, he was a tenant. Leah was the landlord, protecting and sustaining and feeding our son during that time. When we were pregnant again with our second child, sadly, Leah miscarried. And the pain of loss there was that of a real life. We never met our child, the second child, but it wasn't just, you know, the stopping of our plan or our dream. We really felt the loss of a loved one. When our youngest son, Ben, was born, I was reminded again, he was jaundiced and had to spend, you know, a few days under that UV, that's his cool dude glasses there, under the UV light. And again, I was reminded because it was explained to me that this happens when the baby's blood type is different from the mom. And so they didn't even have the same blood going through their bodies. What a powerful picture for me that this is a distinct human life. According to the Gallup poll, most of our country gets this, I believe. I think we mostly get this because while there are 24% who said that they support abortion being legal in every case, even late term, most people, 74%, believe that there should be some kind of limit to abortion. Well, why? Because we know I'm not trying to be crass, but we're not talking about taking out an appendix or your tonsils. We're talking about a baby. I think we know that. I just think we don't reflect on that enough. And I think the more we reflect on that, it's a baby, the more we will, you know, become more and more pro-life. Still, the biggest group in our country does approve of abortion under certain circumstances, and I think one of the absolute toughest ones to deal with is in the situation, the case of rape. And according to Guttmacher, that's not a pro-life organization, just a health survey organization, according to the Guttmacher Institute, less than half of abortion cases are in this case. And that means that if we kept abortion legal only in these cases, and that's the only time that it happened, 61 million lives would have been spared of that 61.6. And yet, you can't just write off an issue like that. It's still such an important and such a tender issue to talk about. And so we need to deal with it. I think Scripture has something to say, I know it does, about this. And I gotta admit, obviously, I have no idea the terror that a woman goes through in this kind of violent experience. I can't pretend to. I can't even comprehend the agony that would accompany the news that she's pregnant now as a result. But we're talking about a baby. We're still talking about a baby. Even in the worst case, the Bible teaches, number 3 on our outline, you can't right a wrong with more wrong. It's not an easy answer. The Bible says children must never be put to death for the crimes of their parents. It says it the other way around too, but this is the part I'm highlighting. Incarcerate, castrate, even sentence to death a man that would attack and rape a woman. But don't hurt that baby. There's nothing easy about this answer, and yet I know women personally who've conceived from this kind of nightmare, and they've chosen to keep the baby. By doing that, they were showing grace to this little life. Grace that reflects the very grace of God given to us through Jesus. Just an undeserved kindness. If for any reason, of course, if a pregnant mom can't raise her baby, adoption is such a godly and gracious decision. There's many families in this church, many families who will tell you about the wonderful blessing of adopting children. There's lots of you here. There's grown adults here. Now they have their own kids, but they were raised, adopted into their families. And they're thankful to their birth mom for having them. And if she, for whatever reason, wasn't able to take care of them, couldn't do it, they're thankful that they were adopted by their families that raised them. They'll tell you about it. They'll tell you about it. We, in the pro-life movement, the criticism is we're just pro-birth, and we can't do that. Don't fall into that thinking. Be pro-life, the whole life. We need to rally around and help women in crisis pregnancies, and that includes in this situation. Caring for the whole life. The fourth reason on our outline that we're going to look at today from Scripture to stand for life is that we are commanded to get involved. We're commanded to get involved. We can't just be privately pro-life. That's comfortable, it's safe. Safe. But Scripture, God in Scripture, commands people regularly to stand up for the defenseless in every area of life. Look at this, in the prophets, in Isaiah, we're commanded, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed. Again, God's people are to follow the example of their Creator in the Psalms. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. There's no one more defenseless among us than a baby. Even in the New Testament, Jesus, our Lord, the one we say we pledge our lives to, said this, "You are the salt of the earth." This is on the Sermon on the Mount, most famous sermon in human history. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." What does salt and light mean in this context? Well, salt, as salt, we have a preserving quality in our culture to slow down moral decay. As light, we've got the truth of the gospel that shines out from us, that helps to reverse decay in our culture, in every area. And so we are commanded, yes, we are commanded to get out and get involved. I've got a couple of ways I'm going to put up on the slide here, recommendations for what we ought to be doing. If you are pro-life, here are some things that you should be doing. You can write them on the back of your program. There's a blank side there if you'd like. The first thing is to pray. We have to pray. The fact is that God can do infinitely more than us. And so it isn't just about us pushing an agenda or trying it all on our own. This goes for everything in life. I hope you've gotten this at some point in your Christian walk, that you want what God can do in your life, not just what you can do. It's what we've been talking about in our Staying Power series. And so maybe that's just on my mind a lot. But we need to pray for God's intervention. We need to pray for changed hearts, starting here in the church for revival and for changed hearts in our nation. We need to pray for healthy babies, for overturned laws, for healthy moms, for people to stand up and if a woman who's in a crisis pregnancy or a couple chooses to have the baby, that we're going to rally around them and give them the help they need, even if it costs us something. Our time, our resources. We need to get informed on this topic. I can't cover every angle of any topic on a Sunday morning sermon. And so it's good to be reading up on this, guys. One great site you can go to get started is family.org. I recommend that. But there's lots of sites and Facebook pages, Instagram and Twitter feeds that you can follow. I also visit Planned Parenthood and other pro-choice sites. I want to be in the know. I want to know, well, what's the, you know, what does a pro-choice person feel and what are they being taught? But I subscribe to pro-life Twitter accounts and Instagram feeds because I want that kind of thing popping up on my social media, reminding me of the truth of this situation, even daily. And then, of course, Megan said it in the video, we need to vote pro-life. That's a top issue. It's a top issue, and this is an election year. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I will tell you that you should vote your Christian conscience. You need to vote your conscience on this. We need to remind our government it's supposed to protect innocent people living in our country. And none of our other policies in this country matter if we're not protecting babies to be born. And then there's persuade family and friends. Yes, this is the least comfortable maybe on the list because your vote is private. Nobody needs to know what you vote. You know, getting informed, praying, those are all private. But we need to be vocal about this issue. It matters. It matters. We need to have the tough conversations. Don't let the discomfort stop you. It's hard. It's scary. I've had these conversations with my family and friends. It's difficult. Of course, we need to do it in love and kindness and gentleness. We're not trying to win an argument or smash somebody over the head with our view. We're trying to convince people of the truth. We want them to be persuaded. I told you a couple weeks ago that when I first came to the church, the thing that drew me in, I wasn't a believer, I was not a Christ follower when I first visited the church, I was invited by a friend, and the thing that first began to draw me here was the love of the people here, that there's a genuine love for each other and for me. But I didn't tell you where I first saw it. It was at youth group. It was just a couple of weeks attending the church, attending Stony Creek Church. I was at the youth group, and the youth leader, was our pastor, youth pastor then was Danny DiVerna. He's the guy that led me to the Lord. There's other youth leaders and teens. And we were praying at the end of youth group, and they were praying over a girl who had just had an abortion. And I was pro-choice, pro-choice. And I was there, and I'm listening to these prayers, and I disagreed with a lot of the things that they were praying. Thought, well, you're praying about it like this decision was wrong, but it sounds like, you know, she wasn't ready to have a baby, is what I was thinking. But one thing I couldn't deny, even if I disagreed with those that were praying in the youth group, one thing I could not deny is these people loved this girl, that they cared about her, that they genuinely loved her. They prayed for this baby. They also prayed for her. They prayed for her family. There was a genuine love and compassion. That's the kind of thing we need to have for people in our lives. But we need to have boldness and stand up passionately. We need to reach out to moms in crisis pregnancies and support the local, I put CPC, I know not to put acronyms on slides, but that's crisis pregnancy centers. These are pregnancy centers that specialize in helping women and couples choose life. Our church supports the Compassion Care Center in Auburn Hills, and there's also Crossroads Pregnancy Center is another one around here. And so we need to reach out to moms and couples in crisis pregnancy, really be willing to help, not just be pro-birth, but be pro-life. We've got an opportunity. It's a fun opportunity, this euchre night. I mean, you're just going to come and play euchre. You're going to have fun. It's not really a big deal at all, except that you're having fun. But you're bringing a donation, and those donations are going to go help somebody who maybe they're going to need financial help and assistance if they're going to make this decision to have the baby. And so get involved in things like that. And also just in your own personal life. You know, be a help and a resource. Even if it costs you time and money and whatever, let's be pro-life, not just pro-birth. Finally, the last reason to stand for life goes back to Jesus. Number 5 on your outline. Jesus seeks to forgive and restore. We need to share the biblical truth about life, about abortion, and that includes the good news that Jesus' love can cover anyone. That Jesus' love can cover anyone. John writes this in 1 John. He said, "My dear children, I write you this so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, like here in the church, but for the sins of the world, for everybody, even people who haven't come to Jesus yet. He died for them to forgive and restore them. A top reason why people won't change their mind on this issue, I'm convinced, is because of what it would do to them. That there is a tremendous guilt that comes with the realization that abortion is the taking of a human life. In the case of someone who's had an abortion, it can be paralyzing. I've heard this from women who have been through that. They share that it's just the guilt is gripping and paralyzing. But they also found forgiveness and restoration in Christ. We need to communicate that real forgiveness, this understanding, this compassion, help, healing, that they're all found in Jesus. I was convinced when I came to this church, not only was I pro-choice, but I was convinced that pro-lifers are more of a hate group than a love group. Might sound crazy to you, but this was what I thought. This was my opinion, that they're just there to beat down and shame scared teenage girls. But when I came here, when I heard those people praying in youth group, I realized I had to expand my understanding. There are weird and bad people. We all do dumb things and wicked things on every side of every issue. But I learned that when you stand for life, when you really stand for life, you're not just pro-birth, you're pro-life, you love and care and have compassion and help and healing for everyone in Jesus. Planned Parenthood claims they have the compassion answer. We have the real thing here in the church. Our God's grace is so amazing. And there's lots of stories like this. I heard a couple after the first service. People came up and were telling me different stories after the last service. But our God's grace is so amazing that Norma McCorvey, this is Jane Roe from Roe v. Wade, she was the champion, one of the spokespeople and champion of abortion 70s through mid-90s. She turned her life over to Jesus in the mid-90s and began championing the overturning of the law that bears her name. She did so until her death in February 2017. That's our God at work in the life of this beautiful woman who he redeemed and restored and sent out to be salt and light in the world. We hold compassionate news that there's forgiveness for sins, that women, doctors, abortion clinic workers, any boyfriend or husband that's pressed a woman toward an abortion, these people are just as loved by God as the 61.6 million babies. God's forgiveness is waiting for every one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, who's more than paid for our sins on the cross. May we give our lives over to him completely as we stand for life. We're going to have our time of offering here, and I'm going to welcome the band up, but I did want to have a little extra time of prayer about this, so I encourage you to stand with me. We'll pray over the offering in a moment, but let's stand together, and I'd like to lead us in a little extra prayer while we're here gathered together as the church, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us together this morning. I said I didn't want to talk about this today, and I'm sorry for that. I should want to speak up for life. I should want to speak up for your truth and what you send me out to talk about. It's just my own insecurity or awkwardness, Lord, so I just confess that to you. I'm glad you put me up here and gave me an opportunity. I'm glad that you gathered us together to talk and reflect and hear and learn and study about this morning. But God, I pray that every one of us, that our hearts would be broken all over again, and that we'd be filled by the power, by the presence of your Holy Spirit to go out into the world with the truth on this issue. That of course we would vote, of course we would talk to you in prayer about it. Of course, we would do our own research, but I pray we'd go out and talk with people with love and compassion, but with boldness and clarity too, on the tremendous cause of life. God, I pray that a revival would start here in the church, start in this very church, and that it would spread through our country, leading to real, real change, to God-sized change. Lord, we give you this offering as an act of worship, and I'm thankful that a portion of it goes to help crisis pregnancy centers. Lord, as we give you this offering, we do it as an act of worship, as an act of thanksgiving. I pray you would bless it. I pray that it would go on to advance your kingdom in lots of different ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, I do pray for an awakening in our nation. We pray for a true awakening in our nation. I see it and I'm encouraged by lots of the different things in different states around our nation and different leaders we have. I thank you, God, for that. We do praise you, God. You are at work. We can't deny it. But God, I just pray your Holy Spirit would continue to stir mightily in everyone's heart. I pray that we would boldly stand up and speak out for life. I pray that we would not be ashamed. We've got the truth. We've got the compassionate answer. This is the right thing. May that not intimidate us to share what's right. Of course, Lord, give us the right way to say it in compassionate words to do that properly. But Lord, may we stand up and speak. Even if we fumble over our words, may we at least speak out and not shy away from something so important as life. God, we love you. We love you. We thank you for the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that have had an abortion or are in the industry or been partner to an abortion, I pray as the light switch might flick on in their lives to see that abortion is the taking of a life, they may be crippled. And Lord, if that's something that people need to go through, then they need to go through it, of feeling that that crisis of what did I think? I felt that myself, just being pro-choice and coming to that realization as a young college age guy. Lord, you got a hold of my mind and my heart on this, and I had to mourn even just championing that cause of pro-choice before. But I know that's nothing compared to somebody who's been through it, who's made a decision. I can't imagine what they would go through. But Lord, I pray through that process that they would truly know and feel your forgiveness and your love and their worth in you. I pray they would truly be restored and would go out and then be like Norma McCorvey, just be a light in the world around them. I've seen that. I've seen that, Lord. We've seen it with former abortion doctors who have changed. They've given their life to you. They've gotten out of the industry and they speak out against it. Lord, you perform miracles in people's hearts and minds and lives. I pray you would continue to do that and we would see a revival in this area and a revival in general sweep across our nation. We pray this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you this offering. Pray that you would bless it and use it to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.